Well, I want you to turn into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Then also up on the screen, you'll be able to see soon. Whatever they're doing, not a big deal. You can find on the Bible app, you can open up a YouVersion and go to the Bible app and find the verses that we're going to be sharing this morning. But I might just read them if they're not going to be up on the screen, which is totally fine. But this is the last Sunday at Bethel. And this is our third last Sunday somewhere. And I was thinking about like just these situations, just these times. And it made me go back to May 20, 2021. After 6 months at Compassionate Heart on the other side of Chicago Drive and getting started, it was a season of new beginnings. It was a season of Restoration Church getting going, to being a place where we were going to come together and worship and just seek the face of the Lord and come together and see what He was doing. And it was after 6 months at Compassionate Heart, our time there was done. But I look back at Compassionate Heart and I think about our time there, the prayer culture that was established. I remember one time so clearly that the very beginning we knew that prayer needed to be part of our culture, that prayer leads to caring for people. And in a couple of months into it, came up with the idea, and I believe it was the Spirit that led us in that, of just sharing prayer requests, but then also inviting people to pray with one another. And I don't know if you know this all the time, but part of me introducing that time, I always give space for people, if they're not comfortable praying, to go and receive coffee and do their thing and then come back in. And I remember early on, there was one man that took me up on that, got coffee every time we prayed together, was quick to leave the room, really quick to leave that space, until one morning when he raised up his hand and he just shared a testimony of how his family had gone through loss. They lost their son, and would you pray for him? And I'll never forget this. In that space, next slide, you can see the space there. In that space, we would gather around this man and prayed. And there the tears started to stream down his face. Snot was coming down of his nose. And in the messiness of that moment, there was powerful healing. In that space, God moved. In that space, God worked in people. And in that space, there were people there that are no longer walking with us, and that's fine. But God encountered them and met them in that space. And that led to us to go down to the bridge, downtown Zeeland here. Starting in June of 2021, and we went all the way to January 2, 2022, was our last day at the bridge. And I remember thinking about that space and thinking about the testimonies that were shared in that space. And there's a picture of the space in the next slide. And there in that space, we would have numerous testimonies and numerous people sharing about what God had been doing in their lives. And I remember after one time coming together, somebody saying, looking around the room and listening to stories that were shared and just saying, there are train wrecks everywhere and I'm one of them. And we are all encountering the Lord together. In the messiness of that space and that time there was, if I'm honest, difficult being in a space where we were able to worship but not really wanted there. After a season being there, we came to Bethel. And in this space, in a space that I have told people is very different than our culture, but a beautiful space with the stained glass windows and the pews, but also Bethel welcomed us in with open arms and said, be yourselves. And I don't know if it was healing for me and me just alone, but for all of us, in this space, like I shared last week, I have felt seen, valued, loved, and they wanted us here. And we have learned from them, and we have been blessed by them, but we have taught them. And there was our first time together in this space on Christmas Eve where they allowed us to have candles, real candles. And the building still stands. Maybe this December we have candles in this space and just see what happens as they sell this building. No, but in this space, God has met us. Just this morning. Like, I wasn't planning on this. Rick and I didn't talk about what he was going to share and just the powerful testimonies as we open up the microphone. God meets us in this space. Rebecca was up there and led in that specific way. We had not talked about that, but God led and met us in this space. a singing of a song, a sharing of a testimony, and we could go on and on and on. God met us here in this space, and there are times where I left this room just blown away. And I've even shared this testimony with Rick. Like, I'm ruined when it comes to church. This, for me, is church. The realness, people walking together, people doing life together, people being honest with one another. I think the one thing that those, I want to speak to those who are in recovery, the one thing that you have taught me and taught all of us is how to be vulnerable, is how to be real. You know, as they stand up and share about things that, you guys share about things that you've gone through, that helps me to take off the mask even more and say, I need to be real. You have taught us that in this space. And I think about these spaces and I think about where we've been. Three locations, and there's other places that we've met at a park, at the Pierbolt's barn, at an office space. We've met in so many different locations. But at the end of the day, they're just spaces. They're just spaces. And they're moments, they're powerful spaces, and powerful because it brings back memories of what God did in those spaces. But memories of how God encountered people, how God encountered you and I. And how did He do that? Through one another, through His body. And so today, as we end this season here at Bethel and begin a new season at Maplewood, I just want to talk about just three things using a couple different passages. And it's going to be brief this morning. Just what is the Lord building? What is the building with? And what's the purpose of it all? Months ago, I was on a run and I listened to this message and it just really convicted my heart. And it actually freed me up in a powerful way. And so I just want to share some of the things that I learned from that message with you this morning as we launch into this new season at Maplewood. And so turn to Exodus chapter 22, and then we'll also flip into the New Testament. But here is the story of Israel, story of God walking with Israel. And as we get to Exodus 20, God has delivered His people out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt after being there for hundreds of years. And He has miraculously led them out of Egypt. And He, in Exodus 20 and even before, He's just sharing some things with them. And actually, though, the language, if you look at it, it's a marriage ceremony. God is marrying His people, marrying Israel, and saying, I want to have a special relationship with you. But like any marriage, there's vows, there's covenants, and there's things that God wants His people to do. And so we get in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and Moses goes up and receives these, and there's a pretty dramatic scene that plays towards the end of Exodus 20. But I want to pick it up with Exodus 20, verse 22. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it with hewn stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it.'" Verse 25 is what hit me in this message that I listened to, was this person was sharing just the truth out of this. When it comes to an altar, when it comes to an altar that the Israelites were asked to build, God says, you not shall not make it of hewn stones or cut stones, but you shall make it of stones. And what is an altar? What is an altar that the Lord is asking Israel to build? It's a place of sacrifices. It's a place of offerings, a place where sins would be forgiven, but it's also a place where people would encounter the Lord. It was a place of His presence. And overall, an altar was a physical place where people would encounter God, where heaven would meet earth. Altar was a place of worship, a place of encounter, a place of His presence, where people would encounter Him in a powerful way. And He said, when you build an altar, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to build an altar of cut stones. And that's what a hewn stone is. It's a stone that has been manufactured, a stone that has been made with human hands. a stone that has been cut by somebody. He said, instead, I want you to make an altar of stones. Which is an interesting thing. When you think about a stone, it's like, I want you to make it out of a stone. And when you think about a stone, like this stone was from a river, how are stones made? How are stones formed? They're tossed in the water. Maybe the riverbed gets dried out and they dry out and maybe they become a little soft and then there's maybe a couple rocks that come together and they beat against one another and fragile pieces break off. A stone is something that is not man-made. Stone is made and shaped by God, and it represents the beauty of His creation, the beauty of His hand. And here's the thing, I just grabbed two stones and there's so many more in the buckets. All the stones are different. Every stone is unique, and every stone has a story of how it has been shaped. And I don't think it's a coincidence that God says, when you built an altar to me, I want it to be made of stones. Not made of bricks, because if you think about a brick, I have a brick here from my house. Bricks are manufactured. Bricks are handmade. Bricks are the same from one to the next. I have multiple bricks like these at my house. They're all the same. There's no difference between a brick. But you also think about Israel. What did bricks represent? It represented their past. What did they do in Egypt? They made bricks. They toiled hard and they made bricks. And so the point is, the Lord is coming to them and He's saying to them, I want you to build an altar. I want you to build a place of my presence. I want you to build a place where I'm worshipped. But I want to build it. I want you to build it with what I provide. With what I give. The stones that I have made. I don't want you to manufacture anything. Take the material I give you. The material I've made and built an altar. I think about bricks. Think about times in Scripture when people have screwed up. When they wanted to make a name for themselves. Going back to Genesis 11, how did they build? They built with bricks. Let us form bricks. Let us build a monument for our glory. And so they got busy doing things. But God says, I want to build an altar and I want to build it with stones. See, the Israelites could have said, you know what? We know how to do this. We can rely on our past ability, on our own strength. We know how to make bricks. We'll make a big old altar. But the Lord is saying, don't operate in human strength, operate in my strength. Fast forward to 1 Peter. Flip over to 1 Peter. Because the Lord is still in the business of making things with stone. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thirty years after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter's writing these words to a people who were scattered, a people who had gone through a lot of pain, and he says this, he says, as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a stone of offense. They stumble, they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But here is the thing, but you, my people, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What I love about this passage is Peter's talking about the cornerstone, the living stone. Referring to Jesus as being the stone, that cornerstone, the stone by which we can be saved, the one by which we can become a new creation. But Peter says this, And I love the imagery that he uses. He says, Jesus is the living stone. There's only one. There will only ever be one living stone, and his name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But he looks at the people who are probably wrestling with their own identity because they themselves had been scattered. And he says, you are living stones. You are, in other words, a chip off the old block. You are a piece. This is your identity. You are in Christ. You are living. And what is he doing with all of these stones? Many years later, he's like, I'm building you into a people. I'm building into you into a house, a place for my presence. Why? So that you can declare the excellencies of the one who saved you. Written around the same time, flip over to Ephesians 4. I love how these guys use this language of stones. Paul is writing to a people that lived in a town that was known for its idol worship. They've been rescued out of that. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says this to a people that probably are wondering where they fit in life. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You're a member of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for the people, for God by his Spirit. I love this picture because Paul is saying to this group of people, you are no longer slaves. You're no longer aliens. You're no longer foreigners. This is your identity. You are part of a family. You are connected with one another. You have a home and your life is secure because it is built on the chief cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. But I love this picture. It's like you have a family. You're one stone that is connected with so many other stones all the way back to the apostles and the prophets. And what is the purpose of your life? It's to be a place, a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. One last thing before I just highlight what I believe God wants us to learn today. Flip over one page. Because I love this. And this is where there's going to be an invitation for you. Because not all stones are the same. They're all different. And I think here we get a picture into all the different types of stones, the different types of personalities that the Lord builds with. Paul is saying this in Ephesians 4, after talking about the fact that we are one body. But he says there's different personalities, there's different types of people. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says this, He gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we reach the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here's what he says. We're building something. And I'm building, is what the Lord's saying. I'm building with people. I'm building with people who have different personalities, who come from different backgrounds. And I'm putting them all together, and there are apostles. There are those who, man, they love to start new things. They're like, let's go on a new adventure. Let's start something new. And there are prophets. There are those who have dreams and visions. Those people who love the Word, and they're calling the church and calling people back to the Word of God, back to obedience. There's evangelists. People who want to just go everywhere and share the gospel and ask people to respond to the gospel. And when they share, there's thousands that come to the Lord. There's pastors, shepherds, those who care for the body. Those who are all about compassion and all, like, how is everybody doing? And there are teachers, those that make things the complex simple. And Jesus is saying, God's saying, I'm putting all of these together to form a temple, to form a place for my presence. And I'm going to bring people together so that they can rub into one another and grow each other, stretch each other, challenge each other. Why? So that the world will know Jesus, but that we grow into maturity, that we're thoroughly equipped for everything that the Lord is asking us to do. I look at us, Restoration Church, and I want to share just a few things, and then Rebecca's going to sing over us, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and receive a stone. What is the Lord building? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's doing what He's always been doing. He's building a house. He's building an altar. He's building a place for His presence. But He's not building with power tools or plywood. He's building with people. He's building a place where He can dwell. And what is He building with? I've already mentioned it numerous times. He's building with stones. He's building with living stones, you and I. And this, to me, is such a powerful imagery. Because you are a stone. Like, quite frankly, like, you're a stone. Just, I want you to think about that today. You are a living stone, created by God, not man-made. And every stone is different. Every stone has a different shape. Every stone represents the story that you have lived through. And here's the thing, your story matters. How God has shaped you matters. We need you and everybody in this room to be authentic, saying, you know what? This piece that was chiseled out of me, man, that hurt like the dickens. But God is shaping me and forming me into being more like Jesus. We need you to be you. We need you to be authentically yourself. And here's the thing. Every person in this room and every person who's not here, you are valuable and you matter. I remember the 1-year anniversary when we were at the bridge. Talked about the body of Christ. Talked about how we need one another. I walked around the room and I acknowledged each person and I said, this church would not be the same if it wasn't for you, individually you. And I could do the same thing today. Walk around and talk about each person that I see here in this room. And I never want anybody to think that they are less than somebody else. You all matter. You all make up the body of Christ. You are all a valuable part. If we didn't have a pinky finger, our life would be messed up. We need the pinky fingers. We need the appendix. We need, you know, every part of the body to be the body. We need you to be you. Also, in a loving way, I want to challenge you. Challenge each of us. And I struggle with this as well. Stop comparing yourself to others. You are a stone. You're not this stone. What if this stone was like, I want to be like this stone? You're like, no, be this stone. This is how God has made you and shaped you. We need to stop looking around and comparing our lives to others and say, this is how the Lord has shaped us. And we need to stop looking at others and criticizing, oh, you're this type of stone. You got problems. No, they just have been shaped differently than you. We need to stop comparing and stop criticizing. But the big question that I ask of my life and of your life is, what kind of stone are you? And there are tools that people have made. And I want to invite you into something. I want to invite you up on the screen to take out your phone. And I want you to scan this QR code. Because this is an invitation for you to take a test that helps understand, are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you a shepherd? Are you an evangelist? Are you a teacher? And this will send you to a Google form where you'll just fill out just your name and your information, and we'll email you a test. It's 50 questions. It's 50 questions by which you can maybe help understand who you are. And Dave Barry is helping us in this, and he's going to lead a workshop on June 16 on a Monday night. To help you understand how you are wired, your personality that the Lord has given you. I took this test recently. I wanted it to be something else. And for the umpteenth time I've taken this, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I care for people and with a teacher side. And I'm like, I was even looking at these questions. I'm like, maybe I can manipulate this and be something else. Nope, I'm a pastor. That's how the Lord has wired me. I can't apologize for it. But here's the thing. You belong here. It's what Anne shared. She has a home now in this country in a very spiritual way, and it's significant. You have a home here in the body of Christ. And what is the purpose? And I want us to hear this so loudly and clearly. The purpose is quite simply the glory of God. The purpose is not about a building. The purpose is not about making a kingdom and a monument to ourselves. The purpose will always be and has always been the glory of God. What do I want Restoration Church to be known for? What do we want to be known for? It's what we've already been known for. I'm going to finish with this. This week, I was in a conversation with somebody, and I was sharing some of the testimonies that have come out of this place recently. And the person looked at me and just simply said this: "Where do you find these people?" And I was taken back a little bit. I was taken back. I'm like, "Where do you find these people?" And then it hit me. The stories that were shared because somebody in this room decided to live on mission, decided to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, and dedicated their lives to live not for themselves, but for the glory of God. And it brings you into the workplace where you encounter people and you just say, you need to know the love of Jesus. Where you're just walking along the street or you're in your own neighborhood and you encounter people and you just say, I want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to know the love of Jesus. I want us as Restoration Church to quite simply be known for a people that are living for the glory of God. Whatever it looks like, whatever it takes to pour out our lives, to give our lives completely to this mission. And the one thing that I'm dedicated to and that everybody here, I believe, is dedicated to, we will not manufacture anything, but simply respond to what the Lord is doing, to who He has brought into our midst. This service this morning, I know we've gone a little bit over, but it's because the Lord was doing things. We didn't manufacture, we didn't plan that worship time. I didn't plan for testimonies to be shared. At the end of the day, I don't want us to be a community that manufactures anything, but just responds to what the Lord is doing. I don't want people to be impressed with our programming, our production. I want people to be impressed with the Lord. And no matter what place we leave or what place we're in, for people to leave that place saying, I encountered the Lord. Period. I encountered the Lord. So what I want us to do, and Rebecca, you can come on up and lead that song, or is your brother leading it? I have a bucket of stones here. And this song that we're going to sing, actually Rebecca's going to sing over us, it's just a simple song that says, send us. Send me, Lord. Here I am. I want you to come forward and pick a rock out of the bucket. And I want you to think about your life and think about how you've been shaped by God. Think about the things that have happened. Give Him praise for how He has walked with you through your life. But also, use this as a symbol, a powerful reminder to say, God, here's my life, placing it on the altar. It's all for you. It's all for your glory. Probably do something next week at Maplewood with these rocks, so maybe bring them. As we respond to this, come forward, grab a rock. Know that you are significant, that you belong, that you matter, that you're valuable, that you have a gift to give to the world. All for the glory of God. I want to invite you to stand right now. Just row by row, come up and take a rock. You can dig in here and find one that you like. Come on up row by row. Remember that you are a living stone. Send me all.
choose to praise. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. And if the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway, 'cause here I am, Lord, send me. If it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love. I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love.
That you have shaped us. And here, as we look at these stones, we do just offer them up to you. Ask that you would build something beautiful, all for your glory, all for your glory. But I also ask that you would empower these stones with your Holy Spirit, like you did thousands of years ago. Would you empower us? Would you fill us with your Spirit? May we live our lives not for our own glory, but for your glory, God. Because we have died and our life is now hidden in Christ. So we live not for ourselves, but for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that we belong to you. Thank you that we're a family. Thank you that we belong to each other. Thank you for each person in this room and the value that they are. I ask that we would not grow weary in doing good, but that this week we would live for your glory every single day. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may stick around here and chat with one another. Feel free to pray with one another. On your way out, grab another piece of Costco cake. It's good for your soul and for your stomach. And God bless and have a great Sunday.